maybe I'm not the norm. I'm not camera friendly. I don't wear clothes that fit me. I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style. I have no charisma or self-esteem. I don't own a toothbrush or let my scabs heal. I can't reach all the parts of my body.
Go on then.
Do you want to?
Well, kick us off.
I remember in college, we would hang out in our townhouse. We would sit down and watch like original Saturday Night Live, like the Mighty Favog skits that the Muppets used to do, and like all this weird shit. And it was fantastic. And don't get me wrong, it's probably because we were drinking. And
yes.
Also, it was very funny. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if I do that now and watch Saturday Night Live now, it's not funny in that same way. And so I guess I'm just wondering what the fuck happened to Saturday Night Live. Like,
where you want to start? All the way at the beginning? Because I read that book.
Well, it's hard when you go back and you watch Saturday Night Live and you try to, like, when you're watching Weekend Update and they're talking about politics from back then, for you to get like the very specific names, you know, because they're talking about the nitty-gritty, like, or New York politics, and but still they find a way to make it funny. I remember Dan Aykroyd and what was her name,
Jane Curtain,
and they do like debate back and forth.
Jane, like, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, and they just yell at you. They just say the meanest things, but then they also like make really good points. It was fantastic.
There are like, so obviously Chevy Chase was the first. Chevy Chase is so interesting. Because
I like him on Saturday Night Live. I don't know what the fuck happened to him in the rest of his career.
Well, the thing is, first of all, he's a Vanderbilt. His stepfather
was on the social registry and everything.
Correct. Yeah. His stepfather was a Vanderbilt.
I didn't get any of that money.
His name was like Cornelius Vanderbilt Crane or something like that. And he went by Chevy Chase. So compared to like Bill Murray and... Obviously, he came in the second season when Chevy left, but you had Belushi,
yes.
Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, Garrett Morris. I'm going up on the other woman's name. Lorraine Newman. Bam, pulled it out.
There you go. I was like, I'm terrible with names. You can't be looking at me like, oh, what's her name? What's her name?
Fuck.
I fucking don't know.
You had all these like blue-collar comedians who came from the second city. The writing staff came from like the Harvard Lampoon.
Yep.
So you had like these, for the time, heavy hitters. Then you had Chevy Chase, who was funny. But the problem with him is every episode, because he did Weekend Update, he got to say his name.
Yeah.
They didn't do introductions for everybody back then. It was the not ready for primetime players. And every Weekend Update, Chevy Chase got to say, I'm Chevy Chase,
and you're not. Yep.
So he became like the nominal star, and he was doing the pratfalls.
Well, he became the household name, yeah.
And then immediately left because he's like, I got what I needed out of this. Name recognition. Bye, bitches.
True.
And then they brought in Bill Murray.
Well, it's the one thing that SNL has been consistent about is taking people and throwing them into movies.
It used to be a star-making vehicle, yeah.
Sure. It still is. I mean, you still look at what it's doing now. Pete Davidson has done movies. He's done Apatow movies. Kate McKinnon out there doing movies. You know, it was terrible, but the new Ghostbusters, you know, she was in a Ghostbusters
awful.
Movie.
Rory, you hate women? Why didn't you like Ghostbusters?
Shut
Why
up.
Why didn't you like Lady Ghostbusters?
I watched the newest one, too. We talked about it. I don't know.
Afterlife? Yeah.
But so they're still going on to make movies. Whatever caliber, you know, but AAA films. So SNL is still doing that for, you know, look at, why am I, again, I'm so bad with names. Barry.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Look at his career. He's really blowing up. Barry is fantastic, too. But now we're getting off onto a whole other thing. So it was fantastic back in the day. You had such super talented people. Like, again, you've got Bill Murray and you got Dan Aykroyd. You've got all these really fantastic comedians and Chevy Chase.
Right.
So when did it fall apart from there? Because, like, I watched the original SNL for a while and then... You know, I kind of fell off.
I would argue that its reputation as an institution is not necessarily earned because it fell off a lot multiple times. The first season was rough. You had sets falling over. They had like no money because no one thought it would work. Because literally the first sketch on the first episode was John Belushi playing like an Armenian guy trying to learn English from Michael Donahue, who is this like insanely dark, sardonic comedian who famously, when you're talking about the Jim Henson Mighty Favog skits,
yeah,
goes, "I don't write for felt." He refused to participate in those sketches. But he wrote all the really dark stuff. So the first skit that they did was Michael Donahue, or O'Donohue, teaching John Belushi how to speak English. And it's like, I would like to feed your fingertips, to the Wolverines, So Belushi's basically just repeating whatever he says. Michael O'Donohue has a heart attack and keels over. Belushi just looks at the camera, fakes a heart attack, and falls out of his chair. Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
So they literally debuted in the weirdest. And quite frankly, it's not fucking funny at all. At all. It's just like weird.
It. Yeah, it's just a weird fucking thing. But I think also the weird thing about Saturday Night Live is you look back on it years later. And you go, oh, that was really funny. Like
people were thumbing their nose at authority.
People really didn't like the Chris Farley years.
Not
when,
at all.
When it was happening.
Yeah.
But I look back on it now and I go, God, it's so good. It's so good and it's so weird.
To skip ahead briefly, there was the most horrible thing that happened to Chris Farley is I think it was the New Yorker, maybe, where they put a picture of him with a TV set over his head. And the headline was Saturday Night Dead. And it was a whole article about how bad the show was in 95.
Yeah, that sucks.
And you know what? It was pretty bad, but it produced stars because like we were talking about with the goddamn Marvel movies, you can have great
really
actors.
It up.
But it's a brief mention to say you got great actors in shit writing. And that's kind of what went on. Like the writing process at SNL was cutthroat.
Which is weird, considering what they produced.
Correct.
That's what I find strange about it. And it's almost like you can look at the various eras and go, this is clearly like the buck stops with these certain people, and that's what style of skits you're going to get from them. And so when you look back and you go, man, that sucks. It's because that dude had a shitty sense of humor. Everyone should hate him.
And that's the thing, is you had to basically write your own material and really advocate for yourself because the writers, if you don't take an active role as a repertory player,
they're going to write someone else into it.
They're not going to
They don't give a shit.
Take up for you.
Why would they care?
Right. You have to just, they're going to write what they're going to write and they'll slot anyone in. If you got something you really want to shine, that's why like The Lonely Island and Please Don't Destroy Now, it was really smart to give them the digital shorts, and like Andy Samberg would appear in sketches, but he really got a chance to show off his comedic sensibilities. As did Yorma and Akiva, because they went off and did their own thing, and those digital shorts were magic.
Yeah,
they were objectively really fucking funny.
Very funny, and you know, I don't know. I'm interested to see where they're going to go now with the show. Because, man, Lorne Michaels, how old is he now, first off?
The rumor is he's getting ready to hang it up.
So
he's up there.
Is he going to give it to somebody? Because look who just left. Kate McKinnon just left. Pete Davidson just left. A.D. Bryant's leaving too, right?
Yeah, A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon, Kyle Mooney, Pete Davidson, and I think there's one more. Is it my girl Cecily Strong?
Maybe.
Is she taking off?
That's just... I mean, who do they have left after that?
I look, dude, not a goddamn soul.
Yeah.
Chloe Fineman, I don't even watch the show. I don't know how I know
this. Chloe Fineman's a character actor, right?
So I think
so. They've got her, kind of. I mean, she can only do a very specific thing, but at least she knows characters on a show that needs them.
Melissa Villaseñor, I never thought was funny, but she can do a lot of what they need. Bowen Yang is not fucking funny.
Bowen Yang kind of does the same thing. It's very unfortunate.
He's always Gaijin, like...
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to be offensive. It is what it is.
Sure, but that's what he's doing. They've got who else? They've got Ingmo Odum. She's a black woman.
Yeah. Ego Nordim.
Yeah, I can never pronounce
Ego Nordim.
I can never pronounce it correctly, because I'm a piece of shit. And
racist.
I enjoy her. They don't give her a lot.
They don't.
So she's just kind of there, and that's unfortunate. Maybe like now that she's becoming one of the more senior members, they'll start giving her some stuff. Kyle Mooney was just wasted the whole time.
Dude.
And I don't mean like, I mean, just like they didn't do anything.
See, Good Neighbor stuff, which was like, Benjels, get loose. Like, we've seen a bunch of outrageous fun. Start going down on the dick, feel the mushroom pop in the back of your throat.
Yeah,
sucking
really
down
weird.
Coopers, Cascades.
Really weird stuff.
If they had been allowed to do the digital shorts, if Good Neighbor stuff, if you hired all three of them and let them do the digital shorts, you would have had something.
Sure,
but
they
didn't.
But
you stick Kyle Mooney in as a straight man in a bunch of weird skits.
Well, they put him always in like these really uncomfortable, awkward things where he was always this creepy, weird dude hanging around.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, those were funny, but that if that's all he's going to do, you're going to get like three bits out of it, which is what it seems like they got out of it.
The other problem that they have, like, they pass up on some people you can do a lot with. Jay Farrow. First of all, best Eddie Murphy impression I've ever seen in my entire life. Second only to my own Eddie Murphy impression.
I can't believe they can't get Eddie Murphy back on to do something with that. Is he like...
I mean, that's the thing. Chris Redd is around. Chris Redd is funny, but they put Chris Redd in garbage. He was Hunter the Hungry in Popstar.
Yeah.
That guy's fucking funny.
My favorite thing that he did was the one with James McAvoy, where he shows up and they're in the back alley. And he's like, you know, oh, I guess you're here to be like, what are you doing here? You're so smart. He's like, no, not really, man. You know, and you think it's going to be this like magical teachers trying to save a kid moment, but really he's just there to buy mushrooms off of him.
Please.
Oh, it's so funny.
See, shit like that is good. It's short. It's cinematic. It's funny. It's got a purpose.
Yeah.
The problem with their writing, it's been a problem for a while, but it's really bad now.
Yeah.
Skits go on interminably long, and they're not funny, and they don't know how to end them.
Well, it's weird that they've gotten so much better with doing like video shorts and that sort of thing, and that's become funnier and better over the years. And... you know, it just doesn't seem like they can write like standard theater filmed live.
No.
Because that's what it is.
It's awful. And like they just give everybody like these bland fucking characters. Like I know a particular favorite of ours, and like we skipped a whole time period, but I guess we can go back. But I know one of our favorites is the one where Adam Driver plays the oil baron.
Oh, I knew you were going to say it. Dad, oh, yeah. No, stop. Like Pete Davidson can't hold it together, but that's also kind of nice.
I want to be you when I grow up.
And so you shall. I really enjoy that skit so much.
Put my festering seed in my arch nemesis daughter's belly.
He really sells it.
Dude, it's
you gotta
great.
Go look that one up. Adam Driver. Again, when they get someone really good on and he's it's somebody who really can go with it, then it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
There's a list out there somewhere. If you go back and you watch some of these skits from these people where they're like, these are the worst people who have ever been on SNL. Some of them are brutal. Have you ever tried to go back and watch any of the Steven Seagal skits?
I was just about to say.
They are bad.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
There was one where he wanted to, like, I think Bob Odenkirk talked about it because he was a writer at the time. Steven Seagal wanted to just, like, fight a bunch of dudes and then at the end give a speech about the environment.
Yeah.
And Bob Odenkirk was like, it literally goes nowhere. That's the payoff?
Yeah.
He wanted to do that?
I'd just be scared of him the entire time because I'd be like, He thinks he's the people from his movies.
And the thing is, he could hurt me really bad.
Yeah, I don't think I want him here.
This is pre-Entenmann Donuts goatee Steven Seagal. Hurt you.
This is scary Steven Seagal. He's still wearing his sunglasses indoors, and you're not sure why Steven Seagal.
Full head of hair, no spray paint beard, not fat.
When he takes them off, you go, oh, my God, he's going to kick me.
Fuck.
You're going to be like, hey, man, you're going to put your hands up, and he's just going to Aikido you across the room.
Just kicks your hand.
Yep.
Breaks every bone. That's they also, like, in very poor taste, one of the skits he wanted to do was him as a rape counselor seducing a rape victim. That's a skit he pitched.
So creepy,
dude. That's a skit he pitched.
Yeah. So he just didn't ever get invited back. I can't imagine the person who's like, listen, this is going to be a great idea. Let's get Steven Seagal on the show. You got to figure among, like, we don't know who it is. I mean, in Hollywood right now, but somebody's probably building the kind of reputation that Steven Seagal built for himself around that time. And you go, imagine having that person on now. Like, word has to get around Hollywood, right? People have to know about Steven Seagal around that time to be like, it's not a good idea to have him on SNL. This dude's a massive piece of shit.
He's also an FOP, friend of Putin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, back then they were like, whatever, man. It's cool.
But now,
he's not doing anything over in that place.
He has, like, Serbian. He has, like, triple citizenship. America, Russia, and Serbia.
Well, he fleed fucking, we got into this before, but he like fleed America.
Yeah. And he makes all his movies in the Eastern Bloc now.
Yeah.
Like 9 a year.
The worst thing you've ever watched from beginning to end is what those are.
Pure dog doo-doo.
My God.
What was I going to say about Seagal? Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, they'd never do it, but, like, damaged goods like Ezra Miller or Amber Heard, they'll never be on SNL. Amber Heard is in for a rough time.
Well, I've just read news that she has no way to pay off, like, the 10 to, I don't know how much it
is. Her net worth is, like, $8 million.
Yeah. She has no way to pay off because, like, they figure the damages. What did you get, like $15 million or something?
I think so. Like
she was awarded
five in punitive.
She was awarded two. I didn't realize until I read that article how much her countersuit was for. It's $150 million.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh man! It's like, come on, what are you fucking doing?
And that's her move, is always countersuit.
Shoot for the stars, Amber. Like,
because you'll never be one.
And don't get me wrong, it's one of those situations where I look at it and I go, Johnny Depp's no fucking great person. It seems it doesn't seem like he's a super swell dude. He seems like he's really insecure. It's one of those. It's like a court case about bad and worse. And the fucking thing that's about it is it never should have been televised and publicly made available.
We need bread and circuses, you know?
It should have been. Yeah. It just, like, it really has riled up, like, all the, like, alt-right crowd. Like,
but also a lot of liberal women that I know, when he put out that statement on Instagram, I stalked it and I went, there's a lot of support from people I know.
Sure.
Pretty damn liberal. And that's fine.
Being an asshole doesn't mean you should be physically abused, period.
Or accused of abuse when you...
Exactly, when you didn't. So you look at that, you know, and you look at the... I can't believe there was even that much debate, you know? It was pretty obvious, like, it was... The hard thing about it is what the case was about. It wasn't about whether or not, you know...
It was a libel case. It was not a sexual assault case.
Had nothing to do with any of that. So people kind of get that misconstrued. And that's what's particularly amazing about that court case, because shit like this is usually like left in the nebulous gray area. It's very, very hard to prove libel. And so the fact that they awarded him $15 million, but that they also awarded her two, it's pretty fucking wild. That shit doesn't usually happen. And I'm sure both the lawyers are like, because they obviously get a good percentage of that.
We get 30% or more.
Yeah, they get some stupid number of it.
Well, I'll tell you what's a real miscarriage of justice.
What?
The 1980 to 1981 season of Saturday Night Live. I got us back in it.
Well, no, that's good. Great. And I got to be honest, I know nothing about that. What was the Eddie Murphy years?
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was after that. 80, 81 because was really bad because the producer was a woman named Jean Dumanian.
Oh,
who decided that her star, the next breakout star of Saturday Night Live, would be Charles Rocket. Are you familiar?
No, I'm not familiar with Charles Rocket.
Well, there's a reason. He's the bad guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
Like the head bad guy, the guy that is like pretending to be in with the family.
Oh, the head bad guy.
The handsome guy.
I thought you meant the guy who dies from the rat poison.
No.
For a second there, but then when you said head guy, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah, whatever what his name is.
He's okay.
That guy. So you had Lorne Michaels was working with a producer named Dick Ebersol.
Go on.
Dick. And Michaels, I might be fucking up my timeline, but Michaels and Ebersol left. Or maybe Michaels was fired and Ebersol
left
was
because of
out.
The firing?
I don't know. He might have been pushed out.
Anyways, they left.
Jean Dumanian came in and was like, Charles Rocket is a rocket ship to the top of the ratings. And they just didn't have any writers. This was a time when like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Robert Downey Jr. were repertory players.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much cocaine.
Big time cocaine shit show.
Yeah. Which is amazing because you think about Chevy Chase in terms of like, look at that guy who didn't really have to do much because he had the money, so he could just kind of get into it and was kind of middling because of it and a prick. And then you look at Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who also comes from stupid fucking money.
Yeah. She's like a Rothschild or some
shit.
She's
a Dreyfus. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Fucking nuts.
It's stupid fucking money. Go look it up. Billions. And, you know, she's fantastic, though.
Oh, she's great.
She's great. So it's funny, you know. It's too bad. She's also on it just during, like, the shit years. Later goes on to be Elaine, obviously, Elaine Bennis.
She landed on her feet, that and Veep.
And just made her own stupid pile of cash.
Yep. Sitting on a fucking treasure trove, much like our friend Nick Kroll, who yep. I like. I know you don't, but...
Well, his family, what, private prison systems?
It's
that?
Part of it.
Yeah.
His dad's pretty influential. But so after the 80-81 season, they cleaned house. Dumanian fired, Ebersole back in. He fired everybody except for two people, Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy.
That Joe Piscopo.
That Joe Piscopo. What you love joy. Seeing him these days. So those were the only two people that were retained, and they like started to build the cast around those two. And you let Eddie Murphy loose. Let Eddie be Eddie.
Yeah.
And
and it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah, that's why I remember those skits. And I've seen those. Like, I couldn't tell you about a lot of the other skits I've seen.
I'm Gumby, damn it.
But, yeah.
He was Gumby. He and Piscopo were...
I don't remember any of that early 80s, though. Don't remember any of the stuff before it.
I didn't watch a ton of it. I've just kind of seen the greatest hits. Like, again, I love Eddie Murphy. I married a girl who said she was rich. Spent all money, walked out on the bitch. Wouldn't you love to be my neighbor? It's just, like, funny. He dressed up. I think it was... Was it Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton when they were running for office called New York Hymetown?
I don't remember.
So Eddie Murphy did like a Motown piece called Hymetown as whichever one of those guys it was.
Wow.
I mean, like.
So how long was he on for?
4 or 5 years, 4 or 5 seasons.
Wow.
Not a long time.
Yeah, I would have thought longer.
Not a lot.
Well, because then he went on and what? Was the thing that broke him out from that Beverly Hills Cop, or was there something else before that?
That's a great question.
You know what I'm saying? Cause, like,
I think it might have been Beverly Hills Cop.
Might have been Beverly Hills Cop. Because how many of those did they do? Too fucking many.
Yeah, 3 or 4? 3? Yeah.
Should have left it at 3, and that was probably too many. Like, oh my God, we're at a mansion in a shootout again.
What are the odds?
I don't know if that's how it ended, but I assume so.
Fuck, it was that. I mean, maybe it was Coming to America. Axel My timeline
Foley.
Is pretty fucked.
I thought Coming to America was early 90s.
No, it's 80s.
Is it late 80s then? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be like 86, 87. I wish I had my phone on me.
Damn, Coming to America.
One of my favorite movies
fantastic,
of all time.
Fantastic.
I fucking adore
well, you've
that
got
movie.
That, and then you've got Trading Places.
That might have been it.
You think
that
might have
been
it?
Been
the first
Trading
breakout?
Places might have been the breakout because that was John Landis and Dan Aykroyd.
That definitely came before Coming to America,
yes, correct.
Because of the Randolph bit they have later, where
yes.
he hands them the money.
They pay it
We're
off.
We're back. So
the usual bet, Mortimer.
Yeah. So that happens. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that then Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know.
Yeah, the timeline.
It's really hard.
Because you would absolutely see. That's the thing is, I think it is Trading Places because you would break Eddie Murphy out in a comedy, and Beverly Hills Cop
action comedy.
Yeah, is action comedy.
Yeah.
So I think it was Trading Places. I think so. I think it was early enough in the 80s too.
Wow.
He may have gone off and made that while he was still on SNL, and then realized like. I got a career waiting
well,
for
him. Well,
there's
also his stand-up that he did throughout all this, too. So maybe there was that he started doing, and that's what gave him... I mean, I got to figure that he probably did movies before he did that, because his stand-up is filthy. And you got to figure that maybe they wouldn't have been so easy for him to do that and then hop into movies that are also supposed to be seen by...
You know, Eddie like Murphy people. Raw is one of the funniest fucking stand-up specials slash I would consider it a movie. I've got it right over there along with...
What year was Raw? Was that like 87?
I don't know. I'm bad with the years.
86?
He was a youngin'. He was a youngin'. Raw and then... Fuck, I'm going up on the one where he wears the purple suit. God damn it.
I couldn't tell you.
Hilarious is a Louis C.K. special. Oh my God. Eddie Murphy Raw and Eddie Murphy... It's over there. Eddie Murphy Raw. Eddie Murphy Raw. I want it rare. I want it rare. I'm just going to get up and look.
What, you're going to look at the time? Because I'm on my phone trying to find it right now. 1987. Oh, yeah.
Good call. Good pull. Where
I'm so
the fuck?
Proud of myself.
Oh, Delirious.
Delirious.
Okay, Delirious was the red suit. Raw was the purple suit. Okay.
Oh, Raw was the purple suit?
Pretty sure.
I could have sworn Raw was the red suit.
I I'm not sure, but I think looking at the packaging over on that DVD.
And look at it's raw and it's all purple. Fuck! God damn it!
Fuck my ass.
Yeah. Yep, it is. Maybe.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Well, he was a really great stand-up.
He was a... Dude.
That's where he shined.
Unfucking believable.
Well, it's the same thing I'd say about Chris Rock. You know? I don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed some of his movies, but I really liked his stand-up more.
That's a guy they didn't give anything to do on SNL.
Yeah.
I think like the only character of his I can name was Nat X.
But then he did, what was it, Coming to Earth?
Down to Earth.
Down to Earth.
That was in the 2000s.
What a joy.
Yeah. Pootie Tang, which was written by Louis C.K. Did you know that?
I did fucking not.
Uh-huh. Louis C.K. wrote Pootie Tang.
That upsets me in a way I can't really describe.
Pretty fucking wild, huh?
Not who I would have expected. When you're like, hey, guess who wrote Pootie Tang all by themselves? Louis C.K. I'd be like,
Sadate.
Yeah, I would not have expected that one.
Sign your penny on the runny kind.
What was his breakout movie then?
Who, Chris Rock or Louis C.K.?
Chris Rock.
Oh, fuck.
Because he did a bunch of movies too, right? I mean,
yeah,
he did a lot of stand up, but he did some movies because that's what led to him doing crap in the 2000s.
Damn it. He was, oh, fuck. There's a very specific movie where he had, like, a jerry curl and, like, a gold tooth.
CB4.
Yeah. Correct. Good pull.
Fantastic.
Good pull.
What a great film where they do the Public Enemy.
Oh, it's...
They do the Public Enemy mockumentary.
It's so fucking good.
And they get Charlie Murphy's in it.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
It's so good.
R.I.P. to Charlie Murphy.
Yep.
Wow. But yeah, there again, that's another, we're like skipping ahead in the timeline again, but like.
Oh, I just like thinking about all of the movies that are related. It's like, it's our own Marvel universe. It's the SNL universe.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to think if they'd been smart and they had just put all of this stuff in the same universe, like that's their world.
A lot of crossover appeal.
Yeah. That would have been sweet.
Like but, even the Tarantino verse is a thing.
Yeah. Lorne Michaels doesn't have that kind of foresight, though. Fuck you, Lorne.
You fucking kidding me? He has no kind of foresight. You know why? Because he made It's Pat and Stuart Saves His Family. Pat. I think we've told the story.
Pat is a girl.
When Norm Macdonald joined the cast of SNL, Chris Farley, they were doing a retreat. And he was like, Norm, I have to tell you something. Follow me. And he like runs off into a separate room. He closes the blinds. He checks the lamp for bugs. He closes the door. And he goes, Norm, Pat is a woman.
I'm like, you're special. You're a special guy.
He and Norm Macdonald was like, that was the moment I knew I was in love with Farley. And that truly was like that. That's the thing is Farley, you could give him absolutely nothing and he would create magic.
Brilliance.
He was a brilliant comedian and he was probably going to be a brilliant dramatic actor if he'd lived. Mm-hmm. That's the thing is that was
Hollywood destroyed that man.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood destroyed that.
And body image.
Body image and public image.
People like when Fatty fall down. That was a big fear of his. Because it's what they did. They had him fall through tables, and Dennis Miller's like, I think I just saw the new guy's ass crack.
Yep. Which, don't get me wrong, it's so funny.
It's very funny.
Like, everything that he did was just so funny.
The Hurley-He boy.
Oh, he's so good.
For the love of God, let him watch your house.
Please let me watch your house. Just so weird. It's just such a weird skit.
And the thing is, unfortunately, that was a time where, like, you had Sandler, Spade, Rock, Farley. I guess we'll throw Rob Schneider in there.
I mean, hey, he's got a career.
Yeah. Robert Smigel was writing at that point. I forget when.
TV Funhouse guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Smigel was great. TV Funhouse, the ambiguously gay duo. That was later, but.
Yeah. So you also had Stephen Colbert.
Yep.
You had him doing stuff because he was the voice of Ace or Gary. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, who was the other guy? It was Colbert and...
Couldn't tell you. Fuck. I just remember that was when Stephen Colbert was doing like a lot of voice work because he was doing that. He was also doing voice work for the Venture Brothers and a couple of other things, I believe.
He was on Strangers with Candy, which was not a voiceover thing.
He was also doing that, but that was like when he was starting to do his breakout work, which is great. And he is connected to SNL. Through Robert Smigel.
It's very true. Am I speaking out of turn? I should know this, but did Conan write for SNL? He did. He had to have, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he also wrote for The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild.
Conan seems like he was like, he sneaky wrote for like a lot of really awesome shit. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, like, wow, look at this, Touched by an Angel. And you're like watching it, and then you're reading through the credits, and there's Conan O'Brien's name. You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, that explains why there was the FedEx Pope in this episode.
Yeah, just like you cut back and you like freeze one frame, and you just see his hair sticking out in the back.
Just Andy Richter plays an obese angel.
Yep. Some diner scene.
I'm trying to earn my wings.
Can I get some more eggs back here? And it's just Conan O'Brien. You're like, wow, I never even noticed that. Wow.
Interesting. Just him with an obviously fake mustache.
There he is on Dawson's Creek. Just secret.
It's hard to be a teenager.
Wow, yeah.
I have so many pubes. More than I know what to do with. Dawson, help me.
It's so crazy how this all... he does the stupid fake cry. Like, wow, this seemed totally normal back in the day. Dude. When I was watching this, because I totally watched all those shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I never watched Dawson's Creek.
I never watched Dawson's Creek or Seventh Heaven or any of that crap.
I watched quite a bit of Seventh Heaven.
I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even have told you what network they were on and what time they were on to watch them. You know, I just didn't. I
think they were both preceded CW, WB.
See, I was way too busy watching Power Rangers into an uncomfortable age that I won't admit to. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's okay. That was me and Digimon.
Yeah, well, no, because you went from that. You got the Digimon. You got the Pokemon, right? You had the Dragon Balls. Dragon Ball Z stuff. You know, you had all that. I'm sure there was some Gundam stuff in there a little bit for a while.
I got real close to being an anime guy, to being a fucking weeaboo.
Oh, sure.
It was not good. It would not have been good.
You had the whole Toonami thing going on.
Yep. Inuyasha I loved.
Never touched Inuyasha. Didn't get onto the hard stuff like you did. Wow. Oh, yeah. Inuyasha, that's some...
Gundam Wing, that's some Inuyasha. Hard shit.
Straight up your nose.
Fleekily.
I got as far as I got into weird anime was my cousin showed me this one called FLCL.
Fooly Cooly.
Fooly Cooly, yeah. Yep. And that's super weird, and there's like a girl and a kid, and it's sort of like a metaphor for puberty.
Yep.
But there's also like these giant irons that are going to flatten the world. You got to watch it a bunch of times because it doesn't explain any of this.
It's weird shit.
It's all just imagery and shit happening. But then the girl who's there like saves the day with a Rickenbacker bass. And when the dude gets horny, like a gun flies out of his face.
Yeah, that giant lump, yeah.
He becomes like a giant gun, which also has something to do with saving the world. So like his puberty and this girl and her Rickenbacker base, but the fact that he's attracted to her turns him into a gun, which saves the planet. It's super fucking weird.
And a gun is like a penis. I mean, yeah. If you've watched David Cronenberg movies, then you know that's, you know, yeah. A gun is a penis.
If you ever want to see the weirdest thing ever, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's much, much weirder shit out there in that world. But like, I remember watching that when I was younger, like, I don't understand this at all.
Right.
And the things that I remember from it, like, kind of make sense now. I got to go back and watch it.
And see, like,
that'll be the one I go back and find.
Those were the really interesting ones, but I also liked a lot of boring ones. Did you ever watch Tenchi Muyo?
No.
That one, in retrospect, was very boring, but I was all in on it.
I've like, tried to dabble back in weird, like, cartoony anime kind of stuff. Like, there's the very, like there's a lot of people trying to do it now, like the Castlevania series is trying to kind of touch
Attack
upon
on Titan.
That Attack on Titan I never fucked around with so much. I watched like a little bit of it, saw like the giants with their stupid faces, and I was like, I can't get into this.
Right.
I don't give a I don't give a shit about this. Whatever. It can all be the most serious fucking intense thing in the world, and I just see one of these dumb motherfuckers lumbering in. They're like, we've got to stop him, and I'm just like, I don't fucking care.
Nah.
You know, so it was that. There was one called Parasite, which is about like this kid who like gets a parasite. It's an alien.
Oh.
And he kills the other parasites because they're going to take over the planet. And it's weird.
There are ones I haven't watched. Like,
it's not very good.
My Hero Academia.
Nope.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure I never watched.
Nope.
The big one is Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Wow, that name just makes me not want to go near it with a 10-foot pole.
No.
It makes me feel like three episodes in, I'd be like, did my pits always smell like this? This is really weird. Where'd that body pillow come from?
When did I start hating women?
What is this? Oh my God, I'm on 4chan.
Oh my God, I'm so fat and I can't stop drinking Code Red Mountain Dew. Yeah.
I'm on way too many forums all of a sudden. When did I become an admin?
All women are painted whores.
Oh God.
I want to get laid so bad.
Where'd this QAnon hat come from?
Lift up my folds and pleasure me.
Oh my God.
My Olivia Munn body pillow.
It happened so fast.
yeah, that's a dark road I was going down, man. I could have been a big time anime incel, dude.
Don't be wrong. I think some of it's interesting. Good stories lie where they lie. If you find something that is a good story, then whatever. But a lot of that is just weird crap. A lot of it's just weird, weird crap. So obviously the ones I mentioned are interesting and all the other ones are weird.
Yeah, all the ones I mentioned are like low-key pervert shit.
Yeah.
That was Tenchi Muyo. That's the reason I liked it, is I was hitting puberty as I watched it.
Like,
and it was about like a bunch of fucking hot babes that were all into one guy. Every episode was a bunch of alien women trying to fuck this guy. It was fucking amazing. I was like, well, I kind of like this show. I kind of like the message this show's sending.
Thanks, Cartoon Network.
He did it for me. Yeah, dude, he just, like, he had beer-flavored nipples or something, because, like, the space cops abandoned their job to try to fuck this guy.
I don't get it.
Dude, literal state troopers from space came to, like, arrest a pirate. The pirate was in love with him. And then the cops saw him, and they were like, yeah, we're done doing our job. We want to fuck this guy.
We're just going to follow this dude around, like, groupies in a band.
Full steam ahead. They all lived in the same house. There was, like, obvious sexual tension. There was, like, a 16-year-old girl who would, like, bend over to get Gatorade out of the bottom fridge with no underwear on. That didn't actually happen, but that was a lot of her behavior was like that.
It's great. It's great
stuff.
Not
good.
Yeah. And then you look at it, you're like, wow, there's 37 seasons of this.
Wow.
Japan's fucked up, man.
He banged him.
He banged them all.
He banged them all. Japan. I don't know that for sure. I stopped watching.
Japan's No, man. That's how they keep you watching. That never happens, man. They get really close. You never get to see her from her... What is it? Her naked breasts, anyways.
Yeah, you never get to see her naked breasts, anyways.
Yeah.
You must fight in the breastiary in Niplopolis.
So SNL, yeah.
Yeah. You want to go back to the Farley era?
Sure. I just remember the last skit they all ever did, which was...
Was it the zoo one?
Yeah, it was the zoo one. I'm going into the... What is it? The lion pit?
I think it was the polar bear
cage.
Or
the polar bear cage, yep. And they were all just sitting up there, and I remember reading a story about it or seeing an interview where they were talking about it where they were just like, we were so frustrated and we didn't give a shit anymore. Everybody was panning us critically. Nobody was watching. We knew we were on our way out because they were going to try and shake shit up. And so they just wrote weird shit. And no better example was the polar bear cage skit, which was all of them basically just sitting around the top of a polar bear cage talking about fucking something that had nothing to do with it and one by one jumping to their deaths into the polar bear cage.
Yeah, and I think it was like four specific people. I think it was Norm, Smigel, Farley, and Sandler. I don't know if Chris Rock or David Spade were in that one, were they?
Oh, God. David Spade might have been it. Rob Schneider might have. I know definitely Farley. I know, I'm pretty sure Norm.
Because Norm's the last guy in.
And I'm pretty sure Adam Sandler. And the rest are a guess to be honest.
I want to say one of them's Smigel, but I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, they all just one by one hop on into the polar bear cage, kill themselves. And like their friends are just hit with blood. Like, and you look at it and you go, oh man. Like you look back on it now, you go, I can see why this is funny and weird, but I also can see why they were just like, fuck it. Nope, doesn't matter. I'm just going to write weird shit.
And like that's the thing is like we remember them as being like the highlight, but the truth of the matter is they were also in garbage like, what was it, Superman's Funeral?
Oh, so bad.
The 9.5-minute skit where the whole joke is basically like, isn't it funny we dressed up all the characters in superhero costumes?
Yep.
To no payoff. Chris Farley is the Hulk and he gives this like very articulate eulogy.
Yeah, and then smashes the podium.
Because we got to get Chris Farley physical comedy in there.
Yep.
Like, the pinnacle of that obviously being the Chippendale sketch.
Yeah.
Which he didn't want to do, and they talked him in it. They're like...
Who was it who said, like, you don't have to do this to him? Or did anybody?
I think it was Spade who was like, man, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But it'll be really funny if you do. And they had that kind of relationship, and sure enough, it was fucking funny.
Yep. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was funny, but you get it, and you look back at it, it makes you kind of sad. Like, I can't watch that skit. Can't go back and watch
that
skit.
Oh,
I
still love that skit.
It's so good, but I look at it, I'm like, man, this bums me out.
It just bums me out, like, the stuff after the fact. Like, he went on, he did Tommy Boy. It was fucking huge.
He had such a big trajectory.
Yeah.
And he just, yep.
He was supposed to be Shrek. They had 96% of Shrek recorded with his voice.
Yep. And you go back and you can actually listen to it. I mean, you can find some if you go out and listen.
Yeah.
Real sad stuff.
Same thing. John Candy was supposed to play a wisecracking turkey in Pocahontas, and then he died, so they cut that character.
That must have fucked Mike Myers up too.
Having to take over for Farley.
Well, having to come in, take over for Farley, and then to realize that you literally made a franchise made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
Like that made him insanely. Like Austin Powers made him money.
Sure.
Shrek made him incredible amounts of money. Like that like private jetted him, you know, like that was crazy. And he got it because someone died.
Yeah.
How many Shrek films are there?
Four.
Four? Then they did Shrek on Ice. I don't know what level of he has over the intellectual property. He probably has certain, because obviously what we saw in the Pentaveret, Shrek shows up.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets some amount of payment. Maybe that's negotiated in. Or I don't know. Maybe he got flat a fee.
And it wasn't his idea, so maybe they brought him in as a producer eventually, like what after
is,
the first one.
What is Mike Myers' net worth?
It's probably fucking totally obscene.
I don't want to. Part of me wants to know, and part of me doesn't want to know.
He's got that Pentaveret money now. Fuck us. God, that show sucked.
Wouldn't it be funny if that like lost him money? He's worth $200 million.
It was a passion project. 200 mil is pretty good.
Yep. I mean, don't be wrong. Shrek made so much money. I want to know who got paid for Shrek, because it looks like he made $3 million for the first movie.
Okay.
He made $10 million for the second movie. And for the third and fourth, he made $15 each.
Okay.
It's a lot of money.
It's pretty good.
Shrek grossed stupid money, though. I mean, I get it. That money's got to go, and money's got to go into a lot of pockets. But it seems wild that he, you know. I mean, don't be wrong. I'll take $15 million for a voice.
Yeah, to go, donkey. Oh, there's corn in my crap. I think I'm confusing him with Fat Bastard. Yeah, dude, it's just wild. Like, obviously, Adam Sandler went on to have a massive career. David Spade did pretty well for himself. Chris Rock did pretty well for himself. Rob Schneider is very lucky to have the friends that he has.
Yeah, my God, because they just kept putting him in stuff.
But it would have been Farley. Farley was going to be, he was, I think.
Farley would have been in everything. They were all solidified in making movies. And they, like, Sandler had gotten to the point where he was like, I can do it myself. And I think that was the one thing that Adam Sandler did better than everybody else, that he went out and made his own production company and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can do it. Farley would have been in everything. He would have been in everything.
He was supposed to be in Grown Ups instead of Kevin James.
That makes sense.
That would have, Grown Ups 3. Like that Adam Sandler special says it out loud.
Yeah.
The Farley tribute song. It's wild that also Chris Farley was attached to three cursed projects. I think Belushi was initially attached to Atuk, which is about like an Eskimo that comes to New York City. It was Belushi, and then it was Farley, and they both died. Farley was supposed to be in A Confederacy of Dunces. He died. John Candy was attached to that. He died. Great book. And then I think Candy and Farley were both attached to a Fatty Arbuckle biopic. They both died.
Fatty Arbuckle.
So they're like cursed films he was attached to.
Yep.
And what could have been the Fatty Arbuckle one, I think, would have proven him a dramatic force.
Mm.
And then he might have made a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah. Look at what Sandler did. Made a bunch of crap. I would have liked to have think that the positive trajectory that would have happened to Chris Farley is eventually he would have met somebody. Like, he obviously was going to, no matter what, go through that hard downturn.
Yeah.
He was going to get fucked up and was going to go out and drink too much and do too many drugs and, you know, find his affection through prostitutes and, like, you know, not really figure it out. But eventually, if he had gotten out of that and gotten better, eventually he was going to meet someone nice, you know, settle down, like, all of them did, except for, I think, did David Spade get married?
I think David Spade just fucked a bunch of Playboy bunnies.
Yeah, so not all of them, but most of them, let's say.
He banged them.
I feel like he banged them all. I feel like he would have, like, figured his stuff out, probably would have, you know, maybe settled down, had a family, done the crappy family comedy run that Sandler did.
Sure, pay for some nice vacations.
Yeah, and then hopefully pushed into some more interesting, serious roles.
I would like to think in an alternate universe, instead of Robert Downey Jr.'s redemption story, it was Chris Farley and he got to be Iron Man.
I'm Iron Man.
Oh, Oh, for the love of God. We have to stop Thanos.
I would have loved it.
Yeah, you just calm down there, Captain America. We gotta sign the Sokovia Accords.
That's not your shield. My dad made that
blood
shield.
Blood on our hands.
So this is obviously Iron Man and Captain America during Civil War arguing with one another.
Correct.
Everyone keep up.
Still got Marvel
still
in there.
Still got Marvel
somehow.
In there. Yep. Fuck. Fuck, we did it. Oh, I just wanted to say, because I looked it up, I found out how much the Shrek movies made.
Yes.
So think about that. What was it? What did I say? How many million did he make for the first one?
You said five, or you said 3, 10, 15, yeah. 15.
The first Shrek movie made 487,853,320 box
Ew.
Office gross worldwide. So it seems like I'm like, damn, I wish I'd gotten some more from that. Shrek 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made $928,760,000.
Bro.
And then the third one made a modest $813 million.
Wow.
So that $15 million, and it doesn't have the fourth one here. No one gives a fuck about the fourth one.
No, the fourth one was trash.
That's some pretty crazy Shrek money.
That's Shrek 1.
That's $2 billion plus dollars. That's $2 billion and change.
It's weird to think that, like, Lord of the Rings, Shrek, Harry Potter, Marvel, Star Wars.
Billion-dollar franchises.
Billion-dollar franchises.
Billions
Batman
of dollars.
Batman and all its different incarnations.
Billions of dollars.
Yep.
Billions of dollars. Even crappy Superman worth billions of dollars.
Is it? Is the Superman franchise worth billions?
Oh, I don't know. I'm talking about from the beginning, like from Adam West to now. Probably adjusted for gross.
Adam West was Batman.
Fuck, you're right. You know what I mean. Who did I mean?
It was Christopher Reeve
Christopher
in the movie,
Reeves.
But it was George Reeve and Christopher Reeves, and then George Reeves, I think, was in the 40s. When
I bet
they were
if
like,
you adjusted for gross, all that crap to now, it's probably worth a bill.
Yeah, back when it started in the 40s, it's like, Superman fights a horse.
Exactly. He can leap tall buildings, and then eventually, like, fuck it, he can fly.
Look at him.
We need to figure out something. What was it? They figured out kryptonite because the guy who voiced Superman for the radio wanted to take a fucking vacation. So they needed to make Superman sick somehow. But Superman didn't get fucking hurt. They're like, shit, we wrote. So they had to make something up. So they made up kryptonite. And then they got hit him with kryptonite. And they're like, will Superman get better? Find out in a couple of weeks when someone's back from Barbados.
Holy shit.
Like, so I think that's kind of fun. Otherwise, Superman would have been like the ultimate dickhead.
Yeah, there'd be no point.
Yeah. Well, it's already fucking ridiculous.
Hot take, Superman sucks.
Yeah, of course Superman sucks. That's why it's so hard to write a Superman movie. The only interesting way to write a Superman movie, the best way, was when they brought in Zod because he could have the same strength. But even in the end, somehow he didn't.
It was just an excuse to blow up a city.
Yeah.
In that shitty Man of Steel movie.
Well, and again, it was the one time DC was like, we're going to set up for the next film. And they set things up for Batman v Superman.
And everyone got excited, and it sucked.
Yeah, and it was just really bad. It
sucked.
We're out to save Martha.
Ah, you go, little pup.
That's too bad, man.
Well, SNL.
So
let's keep going.
Here we go. Yeah, obviously, we know Christopher Reeves was on SNL, so he's tied into the SNL universe.
Yes, the SNL-iverse. And, like, the movies that came out of that, like, Wayne's World, obviously, like, I think Mike Myers was.
Yeah.
He slightly predated Farley and Sandler. I think there was
Did
some
he?
Crossover. I think he was on first, and then
was he early 90s
they
and they were
up.
Like mid to later.
He might have been like 80-89.
Really?
I think.
Well, when was So
first?
I Married an Axe Murderer?
93.
Okay.
I only know that because the Pentaveret is a spinoff of a bit in that movie.
Yeah.
So I was looking it up.
So was he still on SNL when that came out?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes.
Because
I think
we know
he left
like,
in like 98 maybe.
Wow, because he left and then did Austin Powers and all that shit, which
yeah.
was late 90s or early 2000s.
The second one I know takes place in 1999 because he asked Felicity, he's like, come back with me to 1999. She's like, I don't know, the 60s were great. I want to see the 70s and the 80s. And he's like, you're not missing much.
The 70s and 80s?
A Flock of Seagulls and something else.
That's
about
it.
It's
like the Berlin Wall falls, and there's a flock of seagulls.
Yeah, something like that. Vietnam and the flock of seagulls,
yeah.
Something like that. Although Nam was in full swing in the 60s, but...
Yeah, some folks are born. Yeah, so I don't know when he showed up. Mike Myers, he had a good little career from that.
Yep.
And needs to stop being nine people and everything he does.
Yeah, do less. Do far less. and then obviously we move into the Will Ferrell... Anna Gasteyer, Tim Meadows, Sherry O'Terry phase.
Which I very much enjoyed. I mean, Will Ferrell, I don't think he's ever done anything better than SNL.
Nope.
Just those. My favorite skit, I think, on SNL is a Will Ferrell skit, and it's him at the like the baseball field sitting with all the parents and just like yelling at his kid. Just like, all right. Oh, he's up to, yep. What a great day. Anyone want to brew? They're like, it's 10 in the morning. He's like, oh, yeah, just a great, cracks himself a beer and just starts shouting at his kid.
Wasn't that based off of his audition skit, Get Off the Shed?
Which is another one they also did. Yeah. I just, for some reason, really enjoyed Get Off the Bag or Get on the Bag.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing as Get Off the Shed. Because they did the skit twice.
Yeah.
And it's just the funny little things. Just, I don't know. I found it very enjoyable.
Because they locked in. So they were like, showing Will Ferrell with no pants or having Will Ferrell shout is really where the money is to be made.
Oh, yeah. Having him be way too peppy and hurt himself. There's one where he's the karate instructor who's got to break the board, and he's like, oh, I've shattered my hand. I have shattered my hand.
Again, screaming Will Ferrell, licensed to print money.
Him sitting at the table, I drive a Dodge Stratus. Yep. So that's, yeah, you're right, honestly. But after that, like, don't get me wrong, I very much enjoyed The Other Guys. I very much enjoyed Anchorman.
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers. This is his golden era. You know, those are that's golden years. To get a little Bowie in there. And then he falls the fuck apart.
He burned brightly and beautifully for a very short amount of time.
And then he tried to keep doing the same thing. Yep. And he made that soccer movie.
Kicking and Screaming.
Kicking and Screaming. And they never needed to make Anchorman 2. It'd be like if they made Step Brothers 2. You'd be like,
yeah. Which they talked about. They never will now because McKay and Farrell fell out. But
yep. Over the basketball TV show.
The Lakers show.
The Lakers show. That's what it's called. The Lakers show.
The Lakers show. Look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up, pig people.
We.
That's when we got Amy Poehler and Tina Fey doing Weekend Update.
Which was very good.
Pretty fucking good.
Pretty funny.
Pretty fucking good.
Pretty damn good.
I was a big fan of that.
Yeah. They did a good job writing.
Tina Fey is a great writer. I don't really care for her as an actress. She's a really fucking talented writer.
Well, yeah, she's a little stiff as an actress.
And it worked on 30 Rock because Liz Lemon is supposed to suck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Working on my night cheese.
Who else was on the cast with Amy Poehler and
Tracy Morgan?
Tracy Morgan, fantastic.
I'm Brian Fellows.
Just such a weird dude.
That bird can talk.
It's just such a weird, like, he doesn't ever do anything different. But it's so funny.
He's amazing. I fucking love Tracy Morgan.
He's just a funny dude. He's just funny and weird. Again, he's one of those people where you're like, for some reason, you're just naturally funny. I don't know why.
He's charismatic as shit. And again, the silly way that he does I'm a grown man.
Yeah. I'm a grown man.
His fucking crazy voice. I love him.
Who else? So it's them, Amy Poehler.
Oh, boy. Amy Poehler. Catan.
Oh, Chris Kattan.
And Norm MacDonald was still around for this. Norm MacDonald got fired. It's weird. The timeline is all fucked because I didn't realize Kattan was on as early as he did. When was the OJ verdict? Because OJ was really what got the ball rolling with getting Jim Downey, the writer who wrote all that shit with Norm.
Yeah.
Jim Downey was fired. It actually wasn't Norm MacDonald because Downey was writing the material. Norm was delivering it.
Oh,
they worked on it together, but basically Don Olmeyer, who was an executive, was pals with OJ. In fact, he had to leave a taping early to go to OJ's acquittal party.
Wow.
So they were boys.
So that's why.
They fired Jim Downey, and Norm MacDonald said, if you fire Jim Downey, I walk.
And that's what happened. So
that's what happened.
He was like, well, too bad. Oh, Norm. So good.
Because I think like Jim Brewer and Chris Kattan were also around at that same time.
Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
Fucking.
He's taking a real turn.
Oh, goat boy.
That
was a weird, this is a weird time.
It was a weird time. I love that story about Norm, too. I think we may have told it on the show where they were doing the Twilight Zone sketch.
Well, apparently Chris Kattan did not like it. It was Chris Kattan, right?
It was Kattan's sketch, and it was an excuse for him to hit on Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
My God, Pam, you're so hot. And Norm just like
tried to tank him.
Every like rehearsal, he's like, imagine if you will, you know, because like Rod Serling, every Twilight, imagine if you will. had that very iconic voice, and Norm just did his thing. And imagine, if you will, story about oh my God, Norm, you have to do it right. He waits until the show is going live. He still hasn't done it right. 5 seconds, he looks at Pam Anderson and goes, "Hey, Pam, you know Chris is gay? he's hitting on you a lot because he's got a problem with his own gayness." And we're live. Imagine if you will.
Cuts right in. Well, now I got to go back and find that skit.
Yeah.
Just to look at how awfully it goes.
It's fucking amazing. And then they did like a profile of everybody on SNL, and it was like Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry as the cheerleaders.
Yep.
And they interviewed, they got blurbs where it was basically like, "Oh, I love working with Will, he's so funny." And then they got to Norm, and he's like, "Catan? I don't know. I think that guy's gay." This is the one soundbite they got from Norm MacDonald.
Such an asshole.
He's such a dickhead,
he's such
dude.
Such an asshole.
I miss him so much.
So good. Yeah, so he had that, and then all of them one by one fucked off.
Yep.
And you had that interim. Was the interim between them like the Bill Hader era? Like, was that between there and what we have now?
Coming out of the Will Ferrell era, yeah, we got Hader, Armisen, Sandberg, Sudeikis, yeah. Keenan Thompson.
And Jason Sudeikis was one of the better cast members they ever had.
Oh,
Jason
for
Sudeikis
sure.
Is fantastic.
Old Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So those are, which I haven't seen.
I can't bring myself to do it. I haven't, yeah. Someone was like, "It's a really positive comedy message." And I said, "Yeah, I'm out."
Yeah. No, it's not going to do it for me. Unless they do like a really dark season where Ted Lasso like
kills a hooker.
Kills a hooker on accident. I don't think I'm going to be into it. That's really what I want out of my comedy these days is hooker killing.
Just dead hookers.
There's a lot of dead hookers. I thought Dexter was a comedy until someone told me otherwise.
It was very heartwarming to watch him dismember women.
Did he do that in the show? I don't think so. I think he mostly killed dudes. I think he kills women every now and then. I think he's an equal opportunity murderer.
Okay. You know? He's bi-murderous.
Yeah.
Or pan-murderous.
It's not all about just one or the other.
He'll kill a dog.
Damn it, I wish they would make another season of Mindhunter.
I know. Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
It's very
dragged
good.
In parts, but...
Well, yeah, and I look at it now and I sit there and go, man, I get how expensive it must be to make that show.
Yeah, and David Fincher just, like, loses bored. Interest in shit. He's
he
like,
just gets fucking bored yeah. and moves on.
He is... Rick Sanchez just pouring gasoline on the antique shop and lighting a match.
Must be nice.
Away.
Must be nice. Done. Just go make some other really super successful thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Rat fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got into the, and like Poehler and Faye were carried over. Seth Meyers. Again, another guy whose writing is a lot better than his performing.
Yeah, he just smiles a lot. Just really can't quite, you know. And at least he's not like one of those hard laugh out loud. Like, we skipped over the worst fucking offender of all.
Both of them.
Yep.
Fallon and Horatio Sands.
Yep.
They were in the Will Ferrell era. You yep. are correct.
Because Jimmy Fallon could smile if you got a fucking smile. But he had to laugh at everything, even the unfunny shit. Yeah. He's laughing through it.
It became his gimmick. They're like, we need Will Ferrell to yell. We need Jimmy Fallon to crack up.
Do we know when to laugh as an audience now because Jimmy Fallon's laughing.
We're laughing because he's having a good time. The sketch is terrible. And Jimmy Fallon and his terrible sense of humor made him break. Ergo, that's our cue to laugh at the thing that's not actually funny.
This is what drove him to his alcoholism. He knew.
Got drunk and fell down in the kitchen, caught his wedding ring on the counter, degloved his finger.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't look it up. It's the worst.
Bad shit. Now he's eating at the Olive Garden with Miss Piggy, bit Cardi B on the tit.
I'm glad he's doing better, but God, he made some crap movies, too. He made that Taxi movie.
Ugh. What was the baseball one?
I don't know what it was called, but yeah.
The Perfect Catch?
Yeah.
Fever Pitch?
Fever, yeah. They had to reshoot the ending because the Sox won that year. And they were like, are you fucking kidding?
Fuck yeah.
It's amazing that the year, like, because they planned like they were going to lose like always. It just happened to be that they won.
Was the gimmick in that he was a Sox fan?
Yeah, and he's going to ask her to marry her. He's going to, at a Sox, I can't remember how it is.
Is that him and Barrymore?
Him and Drew Barrymore, yeah. I watched it once because I'm stupid and a glutton for punishment.
And then it was it Anger Management, where Heather Graham shows up with the Red Sox bikini and yep. Adam Sandler's like, it's a team I've hated. I want to rip the boobies off.
Yeah, but I'm seeing someone. And then she gets all mad and throws cupcakes at him.
Yeah, man, you. Oh, I got to tell you, it did something for me when she started slamming those brownies. Being like, oh, I'm a fat pig. Huh? I was like, ah, oh, well, this is my time.
Yeah. Well, everyone's had a special spot in their heart for Heather Graham since Boogie Nights.
So oh, I mean, Roller Girl, yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's just how that goes.
Did I ever play for you the a cappella group Da Vinci's Notebook?
No.
They did like really raunchy stuff.
I feel
stuff.
Like I would remember that.
They do a Heather Graham tribute song.
I don't know how that, that doesn't sound good.
It's great. They also do the song Enormous Penis, which is very funny.
Oh, that's them.
You've heard that?
Yes.
I take a look at my enormous penis.
And then I don't feel so bad.
My troubles start melting away. Yeah. I saw them when they came to the Opera House.
Yeah, you did, you fucking...
As a child, I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, like, I can't judge. I used to listen to Weird Al all the time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Sit in the basement. La, 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 lasagna. Just fucking. What fun. We.
That was one of my favorite How I Met Your Mother bits, where they're talking about how he sent a letter to Weird Al, and he's like, I gave him the idea for Like a Surgeon. Yeah. And then it cuts to, like, 1984, and he's reading fan mail. He's like, this kid sounds like a loser. Yeah. Like a Surgeon. You know, I made it through med school. Vinny, start recording.
Yeah. He runs off. Yeah, it was pretty good. And also, what a great thing for Weird Al to do.
Oh, yeah.
Such a nice thing.
He's apparently like the nicest and coolest guy on the planet.
Why wouldn't you be? You make joke songs and you're rich.
And he rolls with the times, man. He's never been irrelevant.
No, because he hasn't just been like, no, I don't understand this new. He just keeps doing it.
It's so good, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, like, he...
He's clearly just a really smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who just...
And he knows. He knows it needs to be a good song as well as a parody. That's his thing. If it's not going to be a good song, it's not worth just farting out a parody.
Yep.
Getting that hungry. Out. That's why I got the weird hiccups.
Oh. Someone's got to get some food in their tummy.
I need to get an English muffin with peanut butter in my tummy.
Well, how are we doing on time?
That's pretty good.
I think we're fine. I think people have listened to us ramble on about SNL and whatever else we felt like.
Well, here's the thing. We've been very positive and passionate this entire time, which we get shit on mercilessly. You only talk about the things you don't like.
Well, there we go. We talked about something. Well, to be fair, I framed the entire discussion as what went wrong with Saturday Night Live. So
I'll tell you what went wrong with Saturday Night Live.
What? It just
Saturday Night Live.
Well, it's Lauren Michaels just... you just didn't flow with the times. Is that what the problem is?
Okay, forgive me for invoking wrestling. But in the 90s, Stone Cold Steve Austin was a star.
Boo.
The Rock was a star.
Boo.
Mick Foley was a star.
Sure.
And WWE, or at the time WWF, was the forum that let these stars shine. Now, WWE is the attraction and the stars are incidental. That is what SNL, that's the problem. The stars are incidental. You've got a guaranteed host, musical guest combo. Oh my God, I really want to see John Mulaney in Arcade Fire.
So it doesn't really matter what you put out.
You'll come for SNL. The players don't matter. There aren't really stars anymore.
It's just an event.
Yeah. I mean, you can squeak out a Kate McKinnon and a Pete Davidson, but I don't think Pete Davidson, he will eventually hit a point of diminishing returns for people. And they'll stop coming out because he's not that interesting or diverse.
And it's too bad because it makes me sad, not about Pete Davidson, but like when you watch the show, like Weekend Update is still usually very funny. And so like, you know, they have the capacity to write funny stuff. Is it just that everybody's so concerned with getting their own shit in?
Well, because Che and Jost write the best shit for themselves.
Yeah. And just leave everybody out. It just makes me wonder if that's really what's going on. It's just them working on their own shit, leaving everyone else high and dry.
I'm pretty sure Colin Jost is the head writer now, right?
Yeah. But what does it entail being the head writer? Are you just sitting there being like, this sketch isn't good enough? Or are you sitting there like, in a collaborative sense, like what do we have and trying to help build all this stuff? Or is it really just being like, I've got an idea. Okay. We've got to have everything ready for Saturday night. So, by Wednesday, everyone's going to fucking hit me with their ideas and that's going to be it, you know, and I'm going to work on my own shit so that I can be ready for the show on my part.
I think you're at that point, you're herding cats. You're the head of the table. I think the buck stops with you. and, you know, someone will throw out, like, I got an idea. What about the fart machine, the fart belt? It's a belt that you wear that makes it sound like you fart.
And they go, good, run with it.
They're like, yep, that'll do. Zach Galifianakis is on the show. He'll love fart belt.
Yep.
You don't see a lot of that guy anymore, do you?
No, you don't. I think he made a shit ton of money and fucked off.
Yeah.
Because I think some people do that. I think he spent years, dude, trying to make it happen. You can go back and watch him on old skits on like MTV
yeah.
and shit. He's been doing stand up for a long fucking time. Like, think about how long ago Out Cold was.
2000.
You know?
Movie came out in 2000.
So he's been, he did it for a long time before, like, what was that stupid movie? Where they all black out.
The Hangover.
The Hangover. Thank you. I fucking couldn't remember. Such an irreverent movie. How could I not think of the name of The right. Hangover? But there's a lot of time between when he started and when The Hangover happened. And I think he just made a lot of money from doing that and doing movies. He did a movie with Robert Downey Jr. You know, the Due Date.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Yeah.
Saw bits and pieces. I'm like, oh, Zach Galifianakis with a perm and a pug.
Yeah.
This is where we are.
But the point being is there was a lot of money thrown into that film. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's worth millions of dollars now.
And then they remade that movie with fucking Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy, essentially.
Yeah.
Identity Thief?
Yeah, I mean, essentially. There's, it's similar beats.
Yeah, these, like, mismatch road comedy type things.
Sure. Buddy movies.
Yeah. Top-notch stuff, Vic.
It's a shame. Yeah, but so I think that's what happened to Zach Galifianakis. I think he just fucked right off.
Well, he'll never get to do the fart belt skit.
Maybe he'll come back one day for something.
I had to do it. I had to do fart belt. I heard they were sitting on gold.
He did Dinner for Schmucks and was like, I need to stop doing movies for a while.
That was a great, I'll die on the hill that is a very stupid movie, but a great movie.
It's great and it's terrible.
Oh, it was in her purse. Her naughty purse.
He winks. Yeah.
In the world of complete darkness, the sighted are blind, and the blind man is king. Welcome to my world. I am a shadow.
Yeah, it just lightly dims the room.
Turns off one tiny inconsequential light over a painting or something. Yeah. I love to paint. Oh, are you any good? I don't know.
All right.
Well, we've waxed poetic about comedy long enough, I suppose. See, these motherfuckers that listen to this dumb show, like, they don't realize we just gave them one of the more interesting, comprehensive discussions about something we love.
Comprehensive?
It was pretty fucking comprehensive. We pretty much left off at the present day because there ain't much to say.
Yeah.
Oh, Kate McKinnon is playing Ruth Bader Ginsburg, giving herself a fucking gynecological exam on Weekend Update.
Yeah, show me one that didn't start with a fucking political skit.
All right. Oh, Cecily Strong is playing Judge Jeanine Pirro. Yep. Bowen Yang is the iceberg that the Titanic hit, and he's Kim Jong-un, and he's an Asian gay guy. Like, what a real stretch for him.
It's beautiful.
You guys fired Shane Gillis. Look what he's doing now.
Comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Drinking Bud Lights, smashing Bud Tall Boys, and
smashing Bud Lights, bro.
Hanging out with Louis C.K. talking about the presidents. That is a tremendous four-part podcast. I'll plug that. Matt and Shane's secret podcast, the four-parter with Louis C.K., and they talk about the presidents. Really cool, edifying stuff.
I'm not sure I can forgive Louis C.K. yet.
You're not there yet?
I don't know if I'm there yet.
You're not there yet?
I'm not there yet.
Until you've jerked off a mile in his shoes, Rory, you can't truly understand.
I don't even see enough women, I think, to make that happen.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, it's your mom and you don't want to do it in front of her.
Yeah, she's like, where am I going to go? Just got to go downtown. Hey, can I jerk off in front of you? I'm trying to run a mile in Louis C.K.'s shoes.
Ma'am, I'm trying to grow as a person. May I please masturbate in front of you?
And you get a lot of no's. And you go, wow, sure must have been tough to be Louis C.K. Was this what I was supposed to learn?
I'm trying to learn empathy. Can I please jerk off in this Arby's?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, dude, this is an Arby's.
Yeah.
Michigan.
If you didn't, we'd be offended.
How do you think we make horsey sauce? Oh, gross.
Here's your Arby's spittoon.
I'm glad we went there. That's how we're ending it.
It's a good end. You got anything you want to plug?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Me either. We'll leave them on the Arby's cum spittoon. So until next time, thank you. Go fuck yourselves. And goodbye!